All right. Now, photos. Look at that. It's very appropriate, but I didn't, you know, take that photo out of like Florida or anything like that, right? And someone once told me, you know, that this person was really experienced in setting up good presentations, and they let me know, Daryl, when you're about to preach, you never put like devastation and sadness up on the screen. You put good things, because if not, then you're going to bring people into a place of devastation and sadness. But, you know, Jesus told this story about what it was like to build your house on the sand, right? And he said, you know, there's another wise person who built it on a rock, right? And that rock is Christ. And if you don't build on the rock, you build on the sand, and this is what happens, right? And so this is more of a story that I just sort of want to, like, give you a visual for, because in the end, what I really want to do is in any area where we feel like that's our life, that's our emotional state, that's our, right? Maybe it's our children's state, and we're just, like, hurting for them, right? Lead me back to the rock. It's never too late, right? It's never too late. And God can pick up pieces and put them back together. And he's interested in leading us back to a place where we have the foundation properly set underneath us, okay? Are you good with that? All right, we can, you know, flip the next slide. Just, you know, get the depression away. I should have listened, but, you know, I'm not as smart as him. So for the last couple weeks, we've been talking about using your gifts in to build up the body, right, your spiritual gifts. And we had mentioned that one of the things that can really wreck the pure delivery of your spiritual gifts could be impurity in our life. And so we said we need to welcome God's purification process into our life, because if not, we kind of taint the delivery of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us and through us, right? I want to talk about the third leg of this stool, and I'm really not speaking about the gifts at this point. They just kind of highlight this idea that if we have emotional or mental brokenness in our life, and we're not facing it, and we're just sort of stuffing it down and just picking up our stuff and walking every day and ignoring it, then that also can taint who we are and how we portray and walk out the life of a believer. Okay? And I know, like, just like the rest of you, there's some stuff that's so big, so deep, we don't even know, like, oh yeah, if I could just like flip a switch and start dealing with my stuff, I would do it. So just tell me where the switch is, Daryl, and flick, I'm gonna do it, right? And it's not that simple. But at the same time, because it's not simple, a lot of times we don't engage, right? And we just sort of bury it and forget about it. And then it comes out when we get triggered, right? Right? We read this last week, so I wanted to pick up where we left off and take this in a different direction, but it's really interesting. 2 Timothy, but understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous. Are you guys encouraged? Reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people. And Paul's not speaking about humanity, although humanity definitely exhibits these behaviors, right? But what he's talking to is about the church, right? Because he said they have a form of godliness, they just deny its power. What power? The power to transform life, right? And although I could just start going down this list and preaching against all these behaviors, what I see when I read that, honestly, like, because I'm a shepherd and I deal with people, the first thing I see is what kind of things had to happen in their life to wreck them emotionally and spiritually, to lead them to the place where they could be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. Like, he's so good, right? We sang that today. Right? To be at the point where we could be abusive and ungrateful and heartless. And we're talking about people, good people going to church, but yet that is at the core, undealt with stuff, driving these behaviors, right? We could preach all day long at the behaviors, but if we can't fix what brokenness caused and drives that, how are we going to set people free? And how are we ourselves going to get free of those things, right? And for some of us, this is like generational in our life, right? Dad was heartless, now I'm heartless, and my kids, I'm going to teach them to be, right? That's not a declaration of my faith. I'm just saying, right? And then we overlay the gospel story into that. Jesus comes and he saves us and he forgives our sin. And we're like, I feel like my future is finally going to get better. But then we sometimes don't deal with the stuff, right? And so now we just have the cross, but it kind of covers our sin, but it doesn't, like, we're not allowing him to go in and really carve out that stuff and bring it to the surface and release it, surrender it, right? Deliverance and inner healing, right? Sometimes we're even dealing with physical issues in our life, okay? Because there's inner issues that are causing that illness to come out. And I'm not saying every time if we're physically ill that there's an inner problem, but you know what I mean, right? There are certain illnesses that I can actually, when I'm talking to someone, I start to ask them about certain behaviors and histories within them and their parents because I've just seen such a connection between the problem that they're dealing with and this kind of issue in their life. And they're like, how did you know? Well, just you see enough people, you start to learn, you know? Where are we at? You know what? I think I pulled from the wrong notes. That's not going to help, is it? That was the notes I was supposed to preach. This is what you're going to get. So do you know the Matthew story that I just quoted to you earlier? And I don't have a slide for this guy, sorry. But where we talked about building your house on the sand, building it on the rock, right? That comes from Matthew 7, if you want to flip there quickly. But Jesus starts out, and he's talking about So chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 21, the section of my Bible is actually called True Disciples. Cool. It says, not all people who sound religious are really godly. They may refer to me as Lord, but they won't enter the kingdom of heaven. Wait a minute, I thought it was called True Disciples. These are the sentences that Jesus spoke just before describing building your house on the rock, okay? That not every believer will enter into the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It drops in, right? And it suddenly expands and becomes this tree, and right? So some believers will claim Christ into their life, but they won't enter the kingdom. And the kingdom is, right? It's everything that is Jesus setting free and bringing healing and hope and life, right? Okay, you with me? Nothing I said is like weird, right? Okay, all right. The decisive issue is whether they obey my Father in heaven. On judgment day, many will tell him, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We perform miracles in your name, right? So all the spiritual gift stuff that we've been talking about, it's possible to do all that stuff. And yet, Jesus will reply, I never knew you. Matter of fact, my Bible translates beyond that and says, the things you did were unauthorized. You found, like, you tapped into the power of the name of Jesus, but you didn't embrace the power of God to change. Crazy, huh? And that's what Jesus goes and says, anyone who listens to my teaching and does it is like the man who built his house on a rock. So what I really want to do is, this is not a fun topic, but I really want to talk about all that inner stuff, the gunk that drives us from hurt, from disappointment, or from our broken perspectives to do or to live life in a certain way that is broken. And the Lord wants to get to that today, okay? And when I say today, I believe that there could be miraculous healing right now. And I also believe that you can go, and as you are going, be healed, you know, and walk out your healing in your lifetime over the next, right, days ahead. Okay, either one I'm good with. I just want to make sure that as we talk about more Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit is saying, great, I want more of you. Right? Anybody want to write a song about that? You could have more of me? Or are we only interested in singing, I want more of you? All right. What's really cool is even before I arrived in New Hampshire, or was part of this church, there were many prophetic people who would come and they would all kind of say the same thing. And that was, this place is a place of healing. It's like a doctor's office or a hospital, they would say, you know? And I felt the same way. The revelation that I guess that I felt when I got here was, yeah, this is a hospital, but the Lord doesn't want to just heal people. He wants to take the victims and turn them into doctors and nurses. surgeons and specialists, right? To get off the bed, which is necessary. Sometimes you got to come in and sit and just let the Lord heal you. But when you recover, now you have a story. And you take that story and you use it, right? And so when we've been hurt and disappointed, we become specialists in leading hurt, disappointed people deeper into freedom. Or if we had marital issues, now we become experts of helping them put their marriages back together, right? We just use what we have and God blesses it. Amen? Amen. Loaves and fishes. And so, you know, we see in 3 John 1 and 2 that John said, "Beloved, I pray that you all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." There's like this theme here. Now, some people say, well, that's just a greeting. It's like a really nice thing, kind of like Spock said, "Live long and prosper," right? It's just a thing people say. It sounds nice. But I see it as so much deeper than that, because think about the Old Testament blessing of Aaron that was priests would tell over the people, right? They would stand over the people and they would say, "May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he cast his favor toward you and give you peace," right? The people would come to hear the priest say that blessing over them, and God told them, "Say that blessing whenever you get together." There was a reason for it. It wasn't just like a, "That would be nice," right? And I believe that this kind of a thought here is like the Lord truly does want us to experience healing in our every aspect of our life, spirit, soul, and body. He wants us to prosper. That doesn't mean we're going to have everything perfect, but that means no matter what is happening and being dumped on us, we are pressing through it. Right? Sometimes we think of prosperity as the removal of obstacles, and I believe what Lord's definition is to prosper is to push through all the things that the world and the enemy have thrown at us and yet still stand strong and show fruit, to bear fruit in that broken place. Amen? So then David, in the book of Psalms, between chapters 51 and 72, he wrote these chapters that some people know as the prayers of David. And they're prayers about how to walk in hurt and betrayal and disappointment and yet keep your worship face on and yet declare God is good and yet declare that you surrender to him afresh and yet get back on the saddle and say, "Man, I hate this ride, but I trust you," you know? There's all that give and the take and the push and the pull, and it's birthing a just an ugly process in us, right? And I would strongly suggest that if you find yourself in this place in life in any area, that you just read Psalms 51 through 72. And it covers his entire life. Matter of fact, the very last one, chapter 72, is just as he's dying, and it ends, "Thus concludes the prayers of David." You know, it's like, peace out. Let's just start the first one. We'll take this somewhere, okay? "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer." Just like a good father, he wants to hear the cry. Now, as a dad, I hate the cry, because it's, but you know what? Why I hate it? It stirs me to action. Like moms, you have this incredible, and I'm jealous of this ability to be like, "I let him cry," right? Let them cry it out. They just need to work it out. I can't. I'm like, I got to jump on that. I got to fix that. It's driving me nuts, right? Is it true? And so God, he's this father, and he's like, I can't sit there and just let him cry it out. I can't. I have to jump in, right? And he's not always going to just fix things, but he's going to make it right, right? Okay, so "Hear my cry. At the end of the earth," so dramatic. It's so dramatic, right? "At the end, from the ends of the earth, oh God, I call to you and my heart is faint." That word is also overwhelmed, okay? Ever felt overwhelmed in your heart? Okay. Do you ever feel like you're at the total ends of the earth all by yourself? God, where are you? Right? It's okay that he's all dramatic, because it's good. It's pointing to the feeling of being alone and having your heart broken, right? And he said, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. If a man build his house on the rock, it'll stand." He's saying, my house just fell down, God. but I need you to take me back to the rock, because my instinct is to start trying to put myself back together. And guess what? When I do, I'll look down and realize I've just rebuilt it on sand again. Right? All right? And then you could raise your hand if you've ever felt like you got stuck in a destructive cycle. Right? Nobody wants to admit that. And this is God's invitation this morning. We're going to interrupt the destructive cycle. It's never too late to begin to build on him, on a different rock. Huh? And when he says, my heart is overwhelmed, I want to be led to that stability, that protection from the enemy, right? He talks about, if we keep reading, let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. This really cool, useless fact, but it really sells a picture here. And that is, the tent was the tabernacle. So David moved the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, right? And the Ark of the Covenant is the symbol of God's presence, right? Okay, we don't need an ark anymore because we are the ark. We are the symbol of God's presence on the earth, right? But in his day, to have God's presence was like everything. So he moved it into Jerusalem, and God's blessing just began to pour out on the kingdom, right, through Jerusalem. And he had this tent that he built it especially for this ark, and people from all over the kingdom could come and worship God, but they could be like in his presence because the symbol was there to remind them, right? Well, toward the end of his life, he had this vision from the Lord for how the temple should be built. And he was told, you won't build the temple, your son Solomon will. So David collected all the materials and he drew the drawings and he designed this thing, right? And just handed it to Solomon. So Solomon builds this huge temple, right? And the Ark of the Covenant comes out of the tent and it goes into the holiest place of the temple. And the design that David created was that there would be these giant statues of angels with their wings out. And the distance of the wings are 30 feet, right? And the presence of God was right there. And so when you read this, like he has the vision. He's talking about this tent and he's talking about under the refuge of your wings, let me live here in your presence. Like the people would just understand the depth and the magnitude of what it is like to stand in God's presence and know he's overshadowing you, right? He's for you, he's not against you. And yeah, you might be hurt and you have your stuff, but it's time to open up and let go, because he's there holding back all the attacks to say, I want to get to your heart. Now, the priests, they would go into the Holy of Holies and minister before the Lord. And as they looked up and like, look at the magnitude of that wingspan over him, like he understood the seriousness of what it meant to lead people back into God's presence and not waste their time with just ceremony and pomp and junk. Right? It was a reminder, don't you dare feed them religion. Right? Where only his presence will do. And so this is the reminder, guys, that sometimes when we get hurt, the last thing we want to do is run into God's presence and be alone in our thoughts, because our thoughts just go nuts and we realize, I've been here for a half an hour and I got nothing done. I just want a few arguments in my head, right? But the last thing we want to do is put up with that and say, I shouldn't go into his presence because I can't control my mind. This is me saying, no, run back under the shelter of his wing, recognize under whose wingspan you are settled, and quiet your heart. Right? Why would David display this stuff for us if it wasn't supposed to be the way we were supposed to live? Once again, right? It's yet another section of the Bible you have to either tear out or live by. Right? All right. So a couple of thoughts later now, he's jumped into the next chapter, but 62, 1 through 8. I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock. There it goes again. And salvation. My fortress where I will never be shaken. Remember, as the storms of life blew and the house was on sand, that fell. But, right, as I run into him and I give everything to him and I surrender it to him, right, all my junk, rather than saying, I don't have a problem with this, it's really important that we just start saying, God, I do, and I'm ready to surrender it to you wholeheartedly right now. Right? So many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. Yeah, in our life, it's not physical people. There's a demonic thing that's trying to kill the spiritual life out of you. Right? To them, I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. You're in a high position, whether you want it or not. And they delight in telling lies about me. They praise me to my face and curse me to my heart. So that's, for some of you, that's like family. Right? That's maybe even your definition of family is, oh yeah, to my face they're okay, but behind my back they're killing me. Right? And in all of that yuck, he takes a pause, a Selah interlude, to think about it, and then move on to verse 5. Let all that I am wait patiently, quietly before God. My hope is in him. Right? Next slide, please. This is just continuing on. I haven't jumped here. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I cannot be shaken. In him alone is that unshaking, right? Because there's a shaking. Hebrews talks about it. There's a shaking that's happening, and the shaking will continue until all things that cannot be shaken remain, right? And you want that. You want that unshakable part of your life, because in that place is where you finally have God's perfect will for you, right? All the rest is the stuff we add to our life, or the world puts it on us, and he's trying to break us free from this stuff, right? Sometimes the only way we'll listen is if we get a good shake. So my victory and honor come from God alone. He's my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. I love it. I love it. He's in one moment, he's like, I'm getting killed. People are talking about me. They're trying to kill me, literally. They're, right? And in the next sentence, he's just like ramping up and saying, but oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart. Like the guy who's literally walking it out is preaching it at the same time. Doesn't that feel like you and me? You feel insane sometimes because you're like, God wants me to share this, but you reckon, and then the voice is like, but you don't even know how to live it. Right? It's not crazy. You've just been given permission by David himself, okay? By biblical example, that it's okay as long as you're still pursuing freedom. It's not okay to be a hypocrite, right? But we don't have all these pieces figured out. We don't know how to walk out our freedom every day, but we do know, oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart. Go back to his presence and pour out your heart before him. Don't turn it off. Suck it up and keep moving. Right? Do you really want to waste more time in bondage? No. He's a refuge. I love it. Preaching in pain. You know, this psalm also reminds us to wait expecting victory. Do you understand? Sometimes we wait and we're not expectant of God to bring victory. Sometimes it's more like a roll of the dice and we're hoping he brings us through, but we're waiting with no expectation, right? We're just waiting because, frankly, we have no other choice but to wait. And that's something David reminds us of, is to expect victory as you wait. Because we're recognizing that what we're doing in his presence has value, and who he is as God is not too short to deal with our stuff, right? So we're just not giving him the credit when we don't expect that kind of victory. So, you know, there's some broken, really broken things in here, right? In here. And we want to just hold him right there in front of the Lord expecting victory, not, well, let's just see, right? That means when we get vulnerable with each other or with someone else and sometimes we're fearing hurt, it's, well, you know what? How about we just stop for a minute and expect victory? Knowing that God might just light a match and shake the heck out of that little piece of us that we don't want shaken. It's too tender. Don't touch that. Oh, yeah. He's going to take it. He's going to, right? He's going to shake that sucker. And it's okay. Because he's going to set us free from it, okay? Now, he's gentle, so I'm not telling you to expect a violent storm every time. I'm just saying, man, anytime I've told God no, he's like, eh, I love you. Right? And I'm glad he did what he did. And all my anxiety is like, ah! right? And yet David's standing there saying, I'm in the shaking and I won't be shaken, because really he doesn't care about all the stuff that falls away. I mean, isn't that beautiful? Like, stuff is falling away out of his life and he doesn't care that that stuff's falling away. He's saying, I'm not even being shaken here, right? Because what's really happening is that he's learning to trust more in what God is doing than what he can do for himself. So wait with victory. I believe I told you that that whole Hebrews 12 thing says, well, actually, we have it, right? Yet once more I'll shake not only earth, but also the heavens, right? Yet once more indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship and reverence and all, for God is a consuming fire, right? It almost, like, if you don't know who your daddy is, that sounds pretty scary, right? But when you slip into the, but my dad could beat up your dad mode, he's not so scary anymore. You want him to be the all-consuming fire and the one who can shake and rumble anything he wants to, right? It's only when you forget that he's your dad and he loves you and he's not coming after you personally in the shaking that you can finally come into contact with, Lord, I do want the shaking in my life. I'm not looking for you to just do bad things to me. That's not what I'm saying. A theology of God just bringing pain, like we're made to suffer, that's not what I'm saying. But when he wants to put his finger on something that's not of him and we won't let go and he shakes, that's a good thing. You want that. You want the all-consuming fire, because in that is refinement and purification. And if you did have the ability to tell God, stop shaking me, right? Stop life from doing this to me, you would freeze in your maturity. You would literally freeze in your maturity, and even worse, you'd get stuck in your bad habits or bad reactions, cycles that are destructive. You'd get stuck there. Any takers? No. I like to ask the questions where no one wants to raise their hand. Huh? What'd you say? Yeah, you're just wondering, how hard do I shake them?
Exactly. Don't let anybody.
No, I'm not advocating shaking your. Don't shake the baby. We don't mean physically. To those who withhold their heart from this process, they will find disappointment, thirstiness of their soul, and a sense of being lost at sea. And those three things are what we call being in the wilderness experience. Nobody wants that. We were called to go from glory to glory, right? And we find ourselves parked in a wilderness. It's usually because somewhere in there we're saying no, okay? And you can be there as long as you want to, because even in the valley of the shadow of death, you'll fear no evil. He'll be with you, right? But frankly, I don't want to sit here and preach the same sermons over and over. So please pick up and get out of the wilderness, run into his presence, and let's begin. Let's expect victory. It's not a crapshoot, okay? We are not a people who gave our lives to a crapshoot God. Right? All right, still continuing in these Psalms. I'm cherry-picking scriptures out of his prayers here, but we move into chapter 66, and verse 8 through 12 says, David says, bless our God, O people, let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid out a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. That sounds like Tuesday, huh? yet you have brought us to a place of abundance. Do you see what God's heart is? He's not just like trying to ride us through the mud. He's actually purifying us. What happens when silver is more pure? More valuable. And why, what's that?
Shines brighter.
Shines brighter. Why does it become more valuable? Purity actually makes it more functional. Right? Yeah. Silver, gold, all that stuff, you know, it's in electronics, right? And the more pure it is, the more capacity it has to carry signal and do what it's supposed to do, right? Yes?
I got a short download, and it feels common.
Okay.
Sometimes we don't know what victory looks like. Drop the expectations. Wait. Trust that His way is best. Expect that God is good.
Very good. Yeah. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you for sharing. I also wanted to point out in verse 12, that three-letter word, yet. You let man ride over our heads. We went through fire, through water, yet you have brought us into this place of abundance. And just tell yourself this, when you're dealing with this stuff, you know, today, tomorrow, He's the God of the yet, okay? And I know that sounds like a coin phrase. It's not. I'm just trying to say, right? You might be getting yourself just totally stormed on right now, but He's the God of yet. He will yet bring you through to that place of abundance, right? Jesus said, I've come that you would have life abundantly, right? Yeah. So just bite onto that fact and don't let go. You get to be a pit bull, okay? Lock your jaws on the yet. It's not over, right? Well, Daryl, you told me a whole heck of a lot, but I still don't know what I'm doing here. Well, you know, that's life. I'm gonna get to a little bit of that here, but I think we have to know the one who's doing it more than the formula, because I don't want to just be another self-help book with follow these simple steps and you'll be free. No, you won't. You'll just learn to mask your bondage in another way, right? Only He can really heal. But next slide, please. So continuing on in the same chapter, come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what He did for me. This is the testimony time. I cried out to Him for help, praising Him as I spoke. Did you catch that? Panic, crying, and praising at the same time. It's huge. It's so important because it keeps our attitude correct. Because when we're crying out, we tend to snowball down into negativity, right? And the Bible's not saying, hey, don't speak because, you know, you're going to be negative if you do. So just, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. No, it's actually challenging us. Go ahead, let out a cry, right? But praise Him as you speak, because realize that the God of yet has got an abundance for you. It's just not here yet, right? You with me? Is this right, church? Okay. If I had not confessed my sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And some of us are standing on His promises, but refusing to admit where we've been wrong. Nobody amen that one. Dang it. Right? Where there's these things in our life and we will not let them go, and we're just expecting Him to come in and do a miracle, and He's like, the biggest miracle I could do is help set you free from yourself in the following way. And you're like, I bind you and rebuke you. Lord, pour out your blessing on my life, right? Rescue me and save me. David was saying, hey, if I had not confessed, the Lord would not have listened. It's almost transactional. Once again, because the God of blessing cares more for your heart than the blessing on the outside, right? And so I'm just calling it out there. You want to know the success of the healing process? When you get alone with God and in His presence, it starts with confession. And it starts with worshiping as you cry out to Him. If we're not worshiping, we're negative, and if we're not confessing, we're lying to ourselves. Okay? Are you cool with that? And I don't mean you should hate yourself by the time you walk out of God's presence. You have to be real. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. But God did listen. Exclamation point. There's an exclamation point in the Hebrew. He paid attention to my prayer. He's actually listening, right? Praise God who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love from me. When we sang, your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me, right? He's not, I mean, his side of the equation, he's never going to fail. He's never going to withdraw his love from us, right? Yes? Could be. Could be. Here's one of those fun challenges. If we formularize be still all the time, he's going to say, well, I'm teaching you how to fight. And if we think I'm supposed to fight all the time as a formula, he's like, why don't you just be still? And so the point is not to get stuck in the, but yes, that is definitely part of it, right? The striving, he's telling us stop striving, but always go back to him and just speak it out with praise, right? And let him sort of guide and direct that thing. And, you know, Peggy just said, it's not about the expectation, right? It's let him be the God of the outcome, right? I mean, some of us, it took us years to get this screwed up. Right? And we're like, you know, we want him just give him 5 minutes and you do it, dude, whatever, right? And then he's going to take us down to the core, man. There's some times where he can ask questions 7 levels deep until get to this one little nugget of our life. But we got to let him speak, and we got to give ourselves our ears over to him to get through it all. And our anxiety at times, I can speak from that position. You might also have anger, or you might have some other protective measure that comes in. We'll try to speak louder than the voice of God, and don't let it. And don't give up just because you feel like you couldn't hear the first time. Let your conversation be months long if it has to be, but don't give up on that conversation. You know what I mean? Praise as you speak and confess the sin in the heart. He will not ignore you. He is unfailing in his love for you, right? And then here's my favorite part, and then I think I'm done. But Psalm 67, which is just continuing on to the next thought of David, is may God be merciful and bless us, and may his face smile with favor on us. May his ways be known throughout the earth, your saving power among people everywhere. May the nations praise you, God. May all the nations praise you. Let the whole world sing for joy because you govern the nations with justice and you guide the people of the whole earth, right? Like your worship, it comes out of, it's refined in the refining process of your life, right? And so your worship, the world gets to see what God is doing in you, and they get to see and understand God's ways. They get to, right? You get to be the living testimony of his goodness as you walk out freedom and you surrender to that process. Not exciting? Want a 2-for-1 deal? I think that's my favorite part, right? Because in my mind, and I've said this at several big crises in my life, I was like, you know, devil, you think you're going to do that to me. I'm going to take that story, and I'm going to deliver as many people as I can with that story. How dare you come against me, my house, my family, my kids, right? It's okay. It's okay to use that and say, let the nations see and understand and know the mercy of our God. His face is smiling on us with favor. And the last couple lines there, guiding his people. He's guiding us. We're not lost. You might feel lost. You're not lost. He's guiding you whether you think you're guided or not. He's still consistent and he never fails and he can't, right? And so you realize that the testimony, the story of this brokenness and the struggle and the striving inside and the anxiety and the fight and the I want to die and now I'm good and I'm down and like all of that, that is part of that goodness story that you're supposed to just share with people. Yeah. Let them see and understand that they're not crazy and yet God is good, right?
Because they're going through the same thing. They don't know that God is in control. Right? So they get, how do I get out of that?
Yes. Yes. Are we willing to go on display as a beacon for healing and guidance for others? Only you can answer that. And if you're shy, get over it. I am too. Yes? Sure. You're going to have to put this on though, because you have a quiet voice.
Um. my Christian walk, I guess I didn't realize. I guess I had like this really arrogant confidence in myself, but I didn't have it in God. And God put situations in my life that overwhelmed me. And he's like, what are you going to do, Kelly? And instead of asking him to change me in the situation, I kept asking him to change the situation. And so when those things got done, the situations I was in, I got cancer. And it showed me through that my brain is going a million miles right now, so sorry. That when you're faced with kind of life and death, it's like, it's either or, what are you going to do? And I had no place else to go but to trust him. And it was quite humbling, because he showed me myself through those circumstances of how much I wasn't relying on him. And I carried a lot of guilt and shame with that, because I wanted to be a better person, but I couldn't be, because I wasn't using God to help me and just my own strength. And so I did ask God for forgiveness in that. But what blew me away was he said to me, in all your failures, I love you enough that I'm going to heal you and show you how good I am. Amen. And I just felt like, why would you do that for me? And so now I've come to the point where I don't need to be strong in all these things that I thought I had to be. And it's such a relief, because I don't carry that burden or the pressure or the expectations. And it's so freeing. And I can just live in his love and freely give it, because I do have that to give now. And so this is what I wanted to share.
I wanted to just lead us in a time of prayer. One, maybe you don't know Jesus and you're just on the outside saying, I don't know anything about any of this. Now's the time. It's not complex. We just pray. We say, Jesus, I recognize you died. I ask that you come into my life, that you gave everything for me. So today I'm giving everything that I am and I have to you. And I ask that you come in and just transform my life. Make me look like you. Make me sound like you and talk like you and live for you forever. And thank you for loving me. That's all you have to say. And that's, you know, it's like your entire world will just begin to light up in ways that you never thought possible. For some of us, we're living in hurt and bitterness, unforgiveness. You're probably justified, okay? As a human being, you're justified for feeling those things. But that doesn't mean that the Lord wants you to leave you that way, okay? And so if you're feeling, yes, I have hurt, the Lord has brought it up in my life, bitterness or unforgiveness, I want to lead you in a prayer that, you know, we often pray in our deliverance and inner healing sessions, but it's important that we go through this and, you know, do it often and let things go, right? So if that's you, can we all just pray this? Say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I choose to forgive and release. And I'm just going to say, that person, you can say what you need to say. I choose to forgive and release. Not because they deserve it, but because the Lord Jesus Christ paid in full at the cross for that sin and hurt done to me. Yeah. The same way as Jesus paid for my sins that day. So my account is settled with those people. Those people owe me nothing. And I choose to release them of debt. I receive Christ's payment as enough. I choose to let go of hurt and pain and the memory of all sinful acts done against me. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, so that a flood of new life can flow into me, reviving and renewing my heart. Say thank you, Jesus. It's not in our power that we can do this, it's in His power, right? Thank you, God, for new life. For some of us, it's not so much the hurt and the bitterness thing. It's more disappointment, weariness, and striving to please or to be loved. Different animal, right? So I want to lead you guys in another prayer. If you'll just sort of join me in this. Say, my Father, the one who loves me, the one who has good plans for me, I recognize that your smile of favor is on my life, even in my struggles. Your strength is made perfect in my weakness. Your hope never disappoints. And your power is limitless. I belong to you, and your desire is for me. Thank you that you are pleased with me. You reward me as I diligently seek you. I surrender my attitude. I surrender my impatience. I surrender my striving. I recognize that all my combined efforts are nothing compared to your blessing and intervention. Come, fill me, restore me, bless me, free me, change me, cleanse me. Create in me a clean heart. Lead me into your perfect will, where I will prosper and be in health, spirit, soul, and body. In the mighty name of Jesus. Yeah, so I'm going to pray. You don't have to repeat. But Lord, I just ask for an outpouring of your spirit to fill my brothers and sisters. Some have chosen to forgive and lay things aside. Others have just stopped fighting and resisting and striving against you. And I ask, Father, that you will just come and just as a sign of your approval, your hand of approval on their life, that you will just pour out your anointing and your blessing and your favor and your presence like never before. I ask that today people will even hear the voice of God speaking to them today. And they're not going to wonder, was that God? Their heart will just jump knowing, I heard from Dad. God, thank you for your kindness. Thank you that you've reintroduced us to the rock in certain places of our life where we were building on sand. And even now, God, I sense that there are some who, Lord, you want to meet them where they were and actually pour out physical healing. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just release healing on people as they surrendered and they let go of things that were toxic. Lord, come and meet them there. And by the Spirit of God, just speak life and healing into their bodies right now in Jesus' name. Yeah, body, you line up with the heart, which is now in line with the will of God. And you prosper and be in health, even as the soul is prospering. Yeah. I'm just thankful for stomach issues being healed in Jesus' name. Bones being strengthened in Jesus' name. Headaches, the chronic ones, just being released and not coming back. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, you're so good to us. We love you. What is that? To sing, like just maybe thinking we could like just sort of worship our way out. Nothing like being on the spot. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Some of you are sitting here saying, yeah, but you don't understand what they did. Remember, your forgiveness is not for them. Yeah. It's for you. So you can be released. So, you know, this anger and everything turns into bitterness. And bitterness is a cancer to us. So, and when you forgive them, it's for you. You're not releasing them, you're releasing yourself. And it doesn't mean you have to be their friend. Does not mean that what they did was all right. But you need to let go. Whatever you're holding on to. Because that's when you're going to get the freedom. And as you keep on and hold on to that bitterness, you open the door to the enemy. Forgive. Close that door.
Sorry. So we kind of started the day by saying that it's only in his presence. So if you could we just, I'm going to invite you to stand and worship and maybe do a little bit of business in his presence. And if not, just worship him because he deserves that, okay? And then we'll be out.
There's no place I would rather be. Sing that. There's no place I would rather be than here. Here in your love. Here in your love. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place. There's no place I would rather be. Here in your love. Sing that again. Here in your love. No place I would rather be.
Right here.
No place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. Here in your love. Here in your love. There's no place I would rather. Sing that out. There's no place I would rather. There's no place. There's no place I would rather be.
Thank you.
We just give you that permission to continue this discussion. Lord, take it as long as you need. If you want to do it in a day or months, however you want to do this process, God, we just hand it over to you. Give wisdom to those who are searching for that next step, God, and they're wondering where they can go. Then, Lord, be the voice that guides. I thank you for freedom. I thank you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I believe that we have encountered freedom on another level today. Let us walk that out, Father, for your glory, God. New life. Thank you for abundant life, God. In Jesus' name, amen.